Best-selling author Paul Dworin is editor emeritus of Down East, the magazine of Maine. A native of Maine, he attended Yale University and holds an MFA from Emerson College. His first book, The Poacher's Son, is the winner of the Barry Award, the Strand Award for Best First Novel, and a finalist for the Edgar and Anthony Awards. His latest is The Bone Orchard. In the aftermath of a family tragedy, Dworin's protagonist, Mike Bowditch, has left the Maine Warden Service and is working as a fishing guide in the North Woods. But when his mentor, Sergeant Kathy Frost, is forced to kill a troubled war veteran in an apparent case of suicide by cop, he begins having second thoughts about his decision. Dworin will be reading from and signing his book tonight at Northshire Bookstore in Saratoga Springs, New York at 7 o'clock. And it's a great pleasure to welcome Paul Dworin to Studio A this morning. Thank you very much for being with us.
Well, thank you for having me, Joe.
Nice to have you here. When you, as I mentioned, you for a long time were editor-in-chief of Down East Magazine and a native of Maine. What is it? Have you always been interested in being connected journalistically to that place?
No, I've always wanted to be a novelist, and journalism was my accidental road into the life of a book author.
Yeah,
and it's great preparation because it teaches you how to do research and how to interview people, and most importantly, how to sit your butt down on a chair and write to a deadline. So
it was more of a placeholder until you got, until the novel thing took off.
Right. My parents used to say, you know, it's great you want to be a novelist, but what are you really going to do with your life? And that's really good advice to have.
But the connection to the place, mm-hmm. the connection to Maine, of wanting to, you're a native.
Yes.
And so to write about Maine, to have your journalistic career around the state of mm-hmm. Maine, and to have these books primarily in Maine.
Yes, I mean, Down East is the magazine of Maine. It has about 90,000 subscribers every month, and it covers the entire state. And being the editor-in-chief gave me the license to go wherever I wanted and talk to whoever I wanted. And it was, you know, great material that I was able to use for my novels.
Did the fact that when you started to think about what kind of novel you wanted to write, did you know it was going to be crime? Was that always part of the goal as well, or did that develop?
That developed. I found my way into the crime genre. I was an English major at Yale and kind of came out of college a fairly snobby reader, and then discovered contemporary crime fiction. I'd been a great fan of Sherlock Holmes and Agatha Christie when I was a kid. Started reading, you know, P.D. James and some other writers, and realized that contemporary crime fiction is literary, and it was something that combined, you know, my own aspirations as a writer with my desire to tell a really good story.
The idea of having a game warden as the protagonist, as the sleuth, mm-hmm. how did that come into the equation?
I'm a registered Maine guide, which means that I'm certified by the state of Maine to take people into the wilderness on fly fishing trips, canoeing trips, and that sort of thing.
Okay.
I've always had a great interest in the outdoors, and game wardens in Maine are Maine's off-road police force, and Maine has lots of places where there are no roads. And it occurred to me that by making my protagonist a game warden, I could tap into my love of the outdoors and get him mixed up into just about every kind of crime imaginable, you know, from murder to missing persons.
Mm. That's a fascinating thing, is that they can be a part of almost every aspect mm-hmm. of law enforcement.
Yeah, it's unusual. I mean, it's unexpected. Most people, I think, assume that game wardens are sort of glorified park rangers, you know.
Right.
But they're heavily armed, I'll tell you that much.
they have firepower.
They do have firepower.
So Mike Bowditch came in as a character, your game warden, and he was realized how. How did you say, okay, this is the kind of guy that I want at the helm?
I found my way into this story. It was based on an incident that actually I was writing about for Down East, in which there was a bear roaming around a town near me randomly killing pigs. I was going from farm to farm killing pigs. One day,
seems like a great story.
Yes.
Yeah. There you go. That's all you need.
That's all you need. And one day I sat down, and the bear was ended up being killed by a game warden. And one day I sat down not knowing what I was doing and just started noodling around with that story and started retelling it as if I was that game warden. And he ended up being 24 and a rookie, and everything kind of proceeded organically out of that. I just sort of discovered who he was by writing chapter to chapter. And before I knew it, I had this, you know, reckless, self-destructive, slightly arrogant, but big-hearted and certainly courageous game warden that, you know, sort of has taken over my life.
Was the series always the intention, when you say taken over your life? Was the series always the idea that this would...
Not initially. Although, as I was researching the warden service, I realized that there were just countless stories that I could tell. And when I finished the book, I approached my now literary agent, and she said, you know, I really think that we should sell this as a series. And, you know, is this something you're interested in? And I said, yes. And in fact, we did sell it as a 3-book contract, and now we're up to book 5, and I have a contract for 2 more. So it's going to at least be 7.
If in reading several of these books and greatly enjoying them, we were just talking to Kathleen Jamie a moment ago, and much of her work in both poetry and essays is about the natural world. And it seems of one of the themes of your books is that connection to the natural world, our connection to the natural world, and in its various forms.
Yeah, and specifically, actually, our disconnection from the natural world. It's a real problem, I think, in our culture, and it's becoming even more so as the world becomes more urbanized. And Mike Bowditch, as a game warden, of course, lives in nature. He's outdoors all the time, and he recognizes that nature is something that's indifferent to human beings, and we're part of it, and yet we've separated ourselves from it. And a lot of his struggles, a lot of the plots of the books have to do with this gap between what we think the natural world is, and specifically the Maine woods, and what it really is.
And it also seems that another theme is the economic inequality.
Yes. Maine has the most second houses per capita in the country. It's vacation land, and the strip of along the coast is quite affluent, but you only have to go 3, 4, 5 miles inland and you encounter pretty dire poverty. I mean, Maine is Appalachia, and you know, it's the end of Appalachia. And my own background is I came from a family of mill workers, but I was fortunate enough to have a really great education. And I feel like I can talk about both of those Maines. And that's something that's really important to me, because obviously income inequality is a profound problem in our culture and becoming even more so.
I was thinking about this, and if this is a tangent, I apologize. And you can say, "Hey, this is a tangent," and we can get off of it. But what I find interesting about, because I was thinking about this in preparation of, you know, we think of Vermont and like Archer Mayer's books about Vermont of having a very, there Vermont has a very liberal progressive attitude toward it. You look at New Hampshire, and you know, live free or die, and Massachusetts has certainly been very, looking at other New England states, and I was thinking about Maine, and when you look at somebody like who has now left the Senate, but when you look at somebody like Olympia Snowe, who is a Republican and yet is very much a moderate, does that kind of give us an idea of the politics of the state?
I think traditionally it does. You know, our current governor is a Republican, and he is an open member of the Tea Party. And so you're seeing, I think, a little bit more of the cracks showing than have traditionally been the case. I mean, Maine has been a state in which people are very independent-minded and are proud of their ability to vote for the best candidate rather than for a specific political party. And, you know, but I right now it's a period of a lot of partisan bickering, actually, in the state of Maine. Yeah.
And does that have to do, because we're seeing this in much of the Northeast, mm-hmm. and in a lot of America, but in much of the Northeast, because of an influx of people who are, you know, head north, as you say, because of vacation homes or second homes, because they become disconnected with the city and they want to go to another place. Does that have an impact?
I think it does. Portland, Maine is you know, becoming much more of a satellite of Boston, for instance. And you see a division between people who are looking south and those who are inland and look, you know, I wouldn't say they look north to Canada, but it's a very different sort of mentality, and they feel very separate from this urban, as I say, affluent part of the state. And you know, and the challenge for me, I think, in a series about game wardens, is to kind of put that into it in a way that makes sense and is, you know, is fun to read, to turn the pages.
And what I've learned from my buddy Archer Mayer is that even though you would say be using Vermont or Maine, all of the, it's a microcosm of all of the different subjects that are out there, of, as you say, inequality, drugs, anything, you name mm-hmm. it, and you see it in these, in its various forms.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, when you are writing regional literature, you know, you aspire that the region can be read as universal, that the issues that you're dealing with may be set in Maine, but they're obviously things that in societal terms, of course, afflict the entire country, and in moral terms affect us all as human beings. I mean, you want to make it so that people in California can read a book about Maine. And in fact, I have a fan club of middle-aged women in Australia that really love my books. So
I think we should all have a fan club of middle-aged middle-aged Australian women. So the new book is The Bone Orchard, and it's great, and it's one of those sort of I've left and I think this is the best thing, and now I have the itch that I don't, you know, maybe I should go back because this is what I do with my life.
Yeah, in The Poacher's Son, Mike is already a game warden. He's been on the job for just, that's my first novel.
Yeah.
He's been on the job for just, you know, a few months when his whole life goes to pieces. And one of the recognitions that he has over the course of the subsequent books is he's in trouble quite a lot because he is headstrong and he's impetuous. He doesn't grate about obeying authority. But he's a really good investigator. He's very intelligent. He's very empathic. He joined the warden service for the wrong reasons, is what he comes to realize. And the question now that he's left is, you know, did he leave the warden service for the wrong reasons too?
Right.
And of course, now his friend has been shot, and there's a criminal investigation. He's completely on the outside of it now, more than he ever was before. And, you know, the past is sort of coming to get him. I have a line in the book that's just because you're done with the past doesn't mean the past is done with you. And I have found that to be true in my own life.
That's got to rough you up a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah.
Your schedule is really interesting. You can go to Saratoga, and then you'll be back in New England doing a lot of events in Maine and New Hampshire. And then North Carolina.
Yes.
Are you big in North Carolina, like Australia?
I must be. I leave it to my publisher to send me where they want to send me, and I'm looking forward to it. I have never been to North Carolina, and I'm hoping to have some barbecue.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it sounds very fun. The name of the book is The Bone Orchard. It is published by Minotaur Books, which is from St. Martin's, and it's a terrific read. Really well done. Thank you so much. And again, the event is tonight at the Northshire Bookstore in Saratoga Springs at 7 o'clock. You can go to northshire.com for more information. Northshire.com. The book is published by St. Martin's. Paul Dworin, best of luck. Thanks so much for sharing with us this morning.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.